Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented as a public service by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. That's Thomas, saving you time and money for over 100 years. I'll return in a moment with today's guests, Mark Clevenger and Tim Klingerman, when Bedford County Speaks continues. Have you bought your snow shovel yet? How about the gardener to clean up the yard for fall, or that leaky window in the back? Wouldn't it be great to be rid of all of this? At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, you'll learn how easy and inexpensively you and your spouse can set up a new home in a beautiful community that offers maintenance-free fun and a first-class chef to prepare your meals. Give them a call at 623-0349 and declare your independence at Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
This is District Attorney Bill Higgins. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
We're going to do something special this morning, which is special to me because I don't think I've ever done a radio program in all the years I've been doing this with members of the Knights of Columbus. You are probably asking yourself, Knights of Columbus, let me see, I've heard that somewhere. It's inside some kind of church, the Catholic Church, right? It's inside the Catholic Church. Actually, I don't know what it is. So what we're going to do is straighten this out for you and perhaps clarify what these astonishing men do. First, I want to give you a little history. The Knights of Columbus was started in 1882 by a fellow named Father McGivney in New Haven, Connecticut. This may surprise you to hear this, but this organization was started out of a real and pressing need for the fact that people in the Catholic community, specifically Irish people in the Catholic community, didn't have anything to protect themselves from losing a job or getting some sort of financial difficulty. And Father McGivney thought it would be a good idea if they formed a group of Catholic men inside his parish to maybe set up a little safety net. Now, you have to remember, we didn't have welfare then. We didn't have aid for dependent children then. We didn't have any kind of unemployment insurance. If a widow, for example, lost her husband to, say, a work accident, she was in bad shape if she didn't have a rich family, because sometimes they had young children at home. And back in the 19th century, families were large. Sometimes they had 8, maybe 9 children. And if they lost the breadwinner, she wasn't about to go get a job at Starbucks. There wasn't any place to go. So the Knights of Columbus came up with this idea that they would have a terrific service organization, but coupled to it would be a safety net, which is called their insurance program. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So I wanted to kind of give you a little background. This Knights of Columbus, I am speaking to you today, is from Council 1439 at the St. Thomas Parish. And this Knights of Columbus chapter, actually they call it a council, was one of the earliest in the United States. It was formed in 1909. I looked up the records on this, and it's very interesting. You know, some of the current Knights of Columbus councils number into the 14,000s. So at 1439, this is one of the really, really early ones. And to think that a Knights of Columbus council in, of all places, Bedford, Pennsylvania, which has only 5 or 6% of their population being Catholic, is quite an extraordinary accomplishment. With us is Mark Clevenger and Tim Klingerman. And I'm going to let them tell you about themselves, but first I want to introduce both of them to you. And thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining us this morning. We appreciate it. Mark, I know that in the Knights of Columbus, the jobs, the titles, the roles shift around. So what is your current title at the Knights of Columbus at this moment?
I currently serve as the Grand Knight of Council 1439. I've been an active member, I believe, 8 or 9 years, and I've held other positions within the council.
So the Grand Knight is the boss?
He's the leader of our council, and it's a two-year term, and you're basically elected by the clientele or the members of the council.
I see. So the council members are the person that actually select who the Grand Knight is.
Correct.
And so there are other officials and officers in the organization as well, is that right?
Yes, many different officers with different responsibilities, right, and various committees that we're all appointed to serve on, and we all try to work to the best of our talents and abilities for the sure, good and benefit of our council.
So what other roles have you had in the Knights of Columbus leadership before you became Grand Knight?
I served as a scribe.
What is that?
It's basically the note taker. Mm-hmm. You record what happens in the meetings, and then at the following meeting, you go over that to make sure everything that took place was down in writing, on record. Right.
So it's kind of like a secretary would be in a club meeting, for example. Okay. And what other things have you done?
Just been a member. I've served on various committees through the years, and I've tried to become more active the longer I've been around.
And we also have joining us Tim Klingerman, who is also an official in the Knights of Columbus and has been in several roles. And what is your current role in the Knights of Columbus?
My current role in Knights of Columbus at the present time is a faithful navigator for our assembly number 2529. We've actually just started as new officers. We just began here in July. Mark began his new position, and I began my new position in July also.
Well, you know, I forgot to mention something. I should have brought this up. The Knights of Columbus is actually divided into four ranks, if you will. And I may not be using the right nomenclature, but this is the kind of way it sets up. And the new guys become first-degree knights. And then after some orientation and training and so forth, they can become a second-degree knight. And then they become what is known as a full knight. Am I correct in this?
A third knight.
No, a third degree is a full knight. Isn't that correct? And then the fourth degree, you become a sir knight. So you are the head of the assembly of the fourth degree. Is that
yes,
right, Tim?
Yes, that would be our patriotic knight degree. And that's where we become sir knights.
Gotcha. So these men, and they are men, there's no women, that serve in this organization, in addition to the insurance program I mentioned, do a lot of things. And I know one of the things that they do is serve the church itself. So, Mark, maybe you can tell me a little bit about how the Knights serve the parish here at St. Thomas.
We've been called upon to many projects. There's always, you know, church, there's always many things that need fixing, done, updated, improved. We've worked up in the school hall on various projects, painting projects, you know, fixing things. Whatever needs done, it's brought to our attention. If we can do it, we muster our brother knights and we get the job done, get the work done.
But it's a lot more than manual labor, isn't it, Tim? You're involved in some other things that have a spiritual nature as well.
I have quite a list here of some of the things that we're involved in, and I can just go over this list.
That'd be great. Let's do that.
We have the ARC collection. That's where we collect money outside of the church for handicapped kids. We also have two fish dinners, and we do the fish dinners during Lent. We have a turkey bingo, the turkey bingo that we hold at Thanksgiving. We also have a foul shooting contest, which we are going to hold this year on January 6th. Also, we give out a $1,000 scholarship. Our recipient this year was Matt Zuback. Some of the other things that we do were pallbearers at funerals. We also get flowers to the deceased widows of other knights. We do this at Christmas and at Easter. We just had a summer picnic last week. We had about 40 of our knights and their families attended this picnic. We've gone to Curve baseball games. And we also have what we call a deceased knight's mass. So
You recently took some of your fourth degree regalia knights to an event up in Altoona with the bishop. What was that about?
Yeah, that was we had two new priests ordained over in Altoona, and that's where we took our regalia. That's where we wear like our uniform dress, and we helped escort the priests and the bishops and the two new priests into the church.
Right. So your job, as I understand it, Mark Clevenger, that it's not just about fixing pews in churches. It's about supporting the priesthood and the whole idea of the Catholic faith, isn't it?
Yeah, we're called upon. One of the missions of the early, you know, knights was to be good stewards within the church. I mean, that meant, you know, we support each other, brother knights, you know, to make sure we're all leaders within our families and, you know, make sure everything's right within the in the church, and we support, you know, everything that has to do with the church.
Yeah. And Tim, do you have anything to add on that, on the idea of helping the priesthood and the churches and so forth?
Being a fourth degree patriotic knight, the primary purpose of this patriotic degree is to foster the spirit of patriotism. We try to promote responsible citizenship in the community and loyalty to our country, and then the love of God.
So these are pretty old-fashioned values that you're proposing, and you're trying to keep them alive.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Our guests are Mark Clevenger and Tim Klingerman. Both are members of both sides of this thing, the actual Council of 1439, and they are also coincidentally members of the Father Hayden Assembly, which is number 2529 here in Bedford. This church was started by a man that they are trying to get canonized. His name is Father Dmitry Galitsyn. His first priest was a guy named Father Thomas Hayden. And there's quite a story here, isn't there?
Well, actually, that's what we call our chambers here. We call it Hayden Hall, which is next to the chambers. Father Hayden is buried here in Bedford in the little cemetery that's located down by the Bedford High School. His family is also there, too.
The local people. I mean, this is what makes it so interesting.
But he has some of his other family members are buried in that little cemetery, too.
We are going to return with the Knights of Columbus here at the local number 1439 Council here in Bedford at the St. Thomas Parish. And when we come back, have you learn a little bit more about Knight of the Knights, but what the St. Thomas Parish does as well when Bedford County Speaks continues.
See the USA in your Chevrolet.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. When I was a kid, every Sunday evening, Dinah Shore sang that song. Being part of a Chevy family since 1939, I thought it was pretty special. Now that the weather has become Bedford beautiful again, why not stop by and see the USA in your Thomas Chevrolet? Right now, we have a great opportunity with a beautiful 2017 Malibu. All of them have the latest technology, comfort, and power to make driving fun again. At Thomas Chevrolet, you can drive away in one of these terrific Malibus at value pricing in the low 20s. When you get a great price, great trade-in, and our legendary service, that's called earning your complete satisfaction. That's what we do here every day. Come and see the USA in your Thomas Chevrolet right now. If you visit us this week, you'll find your 2017 Malibu in our showroom. And while you're here, we'll show you what complete satisfaction really is.
That's Thomas Chevrolet, where we guarantee your complete satisfaction every day.
This is Mark Thomas of Thomas Chevrolet, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned to St. Thomas Parish and the members of the Knights of Columbus, Mark Clevenger and Tim Klingerman, and they've been very gracious to talk to us today about this this whole business of being a devout Catholic and becoming a part of an organization that does a good job of supporting it. Mark, I want to talk to you a little bit about the parish, though, for a minute. Along with your Knights of Columbus, this is a very old parish, too. We just celebrated the 200th anniversary, did they not?
Yeah, last spring we celebrated and had a lot of things and events going on within the church to make note of that.
And 1817 to 2017 is 200 years, and the first parish pastor was this Father Thomas Hayden we were talking about. I read about the background of Dmitry Galitsyn and Thomas Hayden. You think we work hard today. This guy, Dmitry Galitsyn, must have had the best horse on planet Earth. This guy founded something like 80 parishes in his lifetime. They have a town named after him. They have a parish named after him. And they even have a state park named after him. I mean, this guy must have been a superstar. And then he goes and finds this young priest from Ireland, Thomas Hayden, and puts him in charge of this church in 1817. And he builds it with his bare hands. So this church is very old. It was founded in 1817. And I understand the original church is still here. So, Tim, tell me about the church, and where is it?
Yes, the little church is still located in Bedford.
Why is it called little?
Because it is little. I've been to Mass in this little church. We normally, in the summertime, we have some summer Masses scheduled for the church. There's probably about eight pews in the church and an altar, and it's very quaint, very small, and it smells like it's old inside.
Right.
When I attend Mass in this church, you're right up front with the priest as he has the Mass for us. It's like we have a real nice gathering. Everything is real quaint. Yes, I have been to church at this.
I understand the church space is about the same size as a high school classroom.
That's correct. It's basically a one-room school.
Yep. Gosh, that's really something. And it's still standing.
It is still standing, and there's also a cemetery there also.
When I first arrived in Bedford, I met the then parish priest, Father Donald Duza, and I asked him how many Catholics are in Bedford County. And he said 5%. And I thought, wow, you know, this is the biggest congregation in the world, and Bedford County leaving 95% for other. Catholics usually represent a larger percentage. So what's it like to be a Catholic in Bedford County, lifelong as you've been, at 5% of the population?
Well, I'm proud to be a Catholic. I actually think that 5%, that surprises me that it's that low. I've been a Catholic all my life. My family is a Catholic, my parents, grandmother, some of my aunts and uncles, and some of my aunts and uncles still attend this church.
After all those years?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a good community. Mark, when I talked to our current pastor, Father Richard Komkowski, who I had dinner with the other night, he mentioned to me that he loves this parish because of what I just discussed, Tim. And that is, this is a small community, so you have to fight a little harder to be a Catholic. Tim, what other things about this parish are attractive to you, that besides tradition and all that? Did your children go to school here by any chance?
Actually, I was one of the first St. Thomas School. I went to school at St. Thomas School.
Oh, so you must be a youngin.
I'm an alumni at St. Thomas School.
Goodness.
And my brothers, my brother, my three sisters, we all attended St. Thomas School. I can remember rainy days, my mom would call the taxi in Bedford, give the taxi driver a dime, and put us all in the car and send us up to the school. So it's just, you know, it's just such a good parish to belong to. I really enjoyed the volunteerism. I just like to volunteer to do things with this parish. And I enjoy working with the people that I have met at the parish. So
a few months ago, we interviewed Father Richard Tomkowski on this program. And he said that, and he was relatively new then, and he said that one of his major objectives when he got to this parish is to try to get people back, because he said that there's a word I know that the priests use. I don't know if they're us civilians use it, but the priests use it. It's called a revert. Have you ever heard that expression before?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a revert is somebody who's not a convert to Catholicism, but is coming back. In other words, he's reverting to his original state as a Catholic. And he said he's really, really trying to work hard. Have you seen any evidence of that in the parish where people have been trying to do that in recent months?
Well, I can speak a little bit for that. We invited Father to come to our Knights of Columbus picnic a week ago, and Father, right off the bat, he said, yes, I can come. And like a week later, after I invited him, he called me aside and he said, Tim, he says, I'm going to have to renege on that invitation, because I have a chance to go visit a previous member of the church and maybe bring them back to the church. And I said, oh, Father, that you've got to go visit this previous member and try to bring them back. And I just think that kind of put him at ease. And, you know, there'll be other picnics that Father can attend, other nights events that Father will be able to attend.
Well, it seemed to me like, what's he here for if he's not here for that? You know, so this is like the main mission, if you will. So that's a great story, and I appreciate relating that. I think one of the things that I've noticed since I've been here in Bedford that you folks really do well is you have so much community activity. Now, Mark, Tim mentioned that you do a fish fry and, I don't know, a turkey bingo. I'm not sure what the turkey bingo does, but maybe can you explain the turkey bingo, or are you not qualified for that?
Oh, I'm qualified. It's hey, if you like bingo and if you like the chance to win a turkey or two or three or whatever, it's one of our major fundraisers. It's always on a Sunday afternoon, a couple weeks before Thanksgiving. You know, you come up and play bingo for a chance to win a turkey. I would just follow that up with, you know, all of our fundraisers, the fish fries, you know, are big for us as well. But we have fundraisers or raise money, and then basically we turn around and give it all away.
Yeah.
I mean, we, you know, put money back into the church. We put money into things happening up at the St. Thomas School, which, of course, the church is called upon to be a, you know, an active supporter of in many ways. We've supported many community things. We've had, I can remember, an Eagle Scout came to us, I believe, two or three years ago. He was doing a project up at the Shellsburg VFW, you know, a beautification project. We was a little short on funds to get the materials and supplies needed to make that happen. And we've supported that. I mean, there's so many things we support I probably can't remember. But that was one of them. I think we had a Girl Scout at one time also doing a project that we've supported. We have for several years now made contributions. I know this personally because I'm born and raised in Fishertown. We support the Fourth Degree supports the Fishertown Memorial Day Parade because they operate on donations to be able to make that happen. And is that's a direct direct result of us wanting to be patriotic and support that type of thing.
That's an extension of what Tim explained about the Fourth Degree being the patriotic degree. So this would be a natural for you to want to support something like that.
Oh, absolutely. And we're looking, you know, we're exploring other things, you know, and if maybe as a result of this show and maybe the word getting out, if we get, you know, requests, we certainly consider them. And if they're worthy of our support, you know, we're more than glad to help people make things happen for the community.
Tell me about the Color Guard. How does that work?
The Color Guard, it's a piece of the Fourth Degree. We call it our regalia. And it's a special type of uniform that we wear. We have our deceased knight's mask. We'll wear our regalia. And it's by choice. And we wear a sword, we have a baltric, we have a chapeau, that's the hat with the feathery fleurs. And what we do is we, in procession, we escort Father into the Mass. And I think our color corps, I'm not sure how many we have in it, about what, eight? Eight to ten.
Yeah, close.
Eight to ten. But we've been to other functions where other color corps from like Johnstown, Altoona participate. When we were at the ordination of the priest over in Altoona, I think we had about 26 to 30 color corps members over there. And we proceeded in front of the bishops and the priest. But we've gone to other locations with our regalia, color corps, and done deceased knight's mass or different masses. It's like for celebrations. We've also attended funerals at viewings. We'll we'll watch over the casket at a viewing, and we keep an eye on that. So. That's pretty much our color core.
Well, because I think what makes this thing so great is the way you have maintained a tradition. For those of you who have not seen this, the best thing I can describe to you is it looks like something out of the 18th century. These guys are in long capes. They have a sword. The chapeau looks like the kind of hat that an admiral might have worn from a sailing ship. And it's very impressive. I mean, when you see 10 or 12 guys walking down a sidewalk, as they were just a few months ago here at St. Thomas, cars slowed down on Penn Street watching you guys walk by. So it's a very, very impressive thing. And I think it really shows how serious everybody is about Catholicism and being a Catholic and you know, supporting the whole idea of being a Christian. And so I congratulate you for doing this.
Thank you,
Lloyd. Just terrific. As far as the fundraising is concerned, Mark mentioned you give it all away. Tell me a little bit about who benefits from this. You mentioned the ARC organization. What is the ARC organization, anyhow? Do you know, Mark?
ARC's the Association of Retarded Citizens, and I know in this day and age some people have a problem with that word. I mean, that's just the name of the organization. But basically what we do is every spring in May, we put nights out. It's all done by Knights of Columbus. We go to the local stores. We're Giant Eagle. We're Save a Lot. Down in Everett at the Food Liner, and any place that will allow us to be there. And we take shifts, and we collect on a Friday evening and then all day Saturday. And then, we also hit our parish members up. We collect money from them, each of the masses, and the money all goes, to their benefit. And I say that the money that we collect stays in this area. It goes, to the benefit of those citizens in need that are in this area. And we are in the top of the state. I don't know what our rank is, but I believe it's somewhere top 15 in the state for the money that we collect. So
in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania?
In the Commonwealth
of Pennsylvania.
Including
Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and all those places?
Yes. So
Holy smoke.
And we're always pleased, and that's just a sign.
Jeez.
We're not just collecting from people from our church. It's people from the community who are out who are willing to support the cause. And I think a lot of people who've been around for several years, when they see us, they know what we're doing because they've seen it in other years. So it's great that the people of the community support our cause.
Tim, we just have a few minutes left. I wanted to make sure that anybody would be interested in this. How could they learn more about the Knights of Columbus? Is there a website of any kind or something like that they could look at? I mean, if they just Google Knights of Columbus, they would probably get something, I would guess.
Yeah, you can Google Knights of Columbus and you can find basic information. I mean, to be a Knight of Columbus, you, of course, first
To be a Catholic, right?
You have to be
I can answer that. Be a Knight of Columbus, you have to be a practical Catholic, one who lives up to the Ten Commandments of God and the precepts of the Church. And Father Rich will have to approve your application. It's a Form 100 that we fill out.
How old do you have to be?
18 years old.
Okay. And you have some new members, I understand. They're close to 18.
We just signed on two young college boys. We had an exemplification for them a few weeks ago.
Well, I want to thank Tim Klingerman, the faithful navigator, and Mark Clevenger, the Grand Knight of Council 1439 here at the St. Thomas Council of the Knights of Columbus. You guys have been very good, and I appreciate you very much taking the time to talk to us. And it's been really great. So I think everyone's learned a lot.
Thanks for having us, Lloyd.
Thank you, Lloyd.
Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru on Route 220 in Bedford, saving time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD. If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.